We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Swing ground ball toward the middle and grabbed by the shortstop. Correa fires the first for the out. And the Houston Astros win game one.
I mean, we started the season 0-3, and the fall was, the sky was falling after three games. So, we have a good baseball team.
JD drives one deep into right field. Tucker is back at the wall. Gone! Grand slam for JD Martinez.
Magnum Dong.
Swings and drives one deep to right field. If it's fair, it's gone. It is fair. A grand slam.
Ding dong.
And he swings and hits a high fly ball deep to left. Verdugo back at the fence, and he makes the catch on the track, and the ball game is over.
So maybe that's where we can go with the grand slams. Instead of Yaya Ding Dong, it's Yaya Magnum Dong.
Well, they had two of them. They had two of them.
In back-to-back innings. Pretty so, good. And we're getting back to you on the phones. Don't go anywhere, y'all. Hour two, Gresh and Keefe, 11:04 is the time.
Ding dong.
But it was a double grand slam.
Awesome.
It was a double donger day in game two.
That's right.
For the Red Sox. So they lose game one and then come back and win game two with a grand slam in the first inning, a grand slam in the second inning. It 8-0 on a Saturday. You were able to just turn it on and be like, all right, I'll pay attention when I need to.
Yep.
And you didn't have to worry about it because of Nathan Eovaldi. But Chris Sale, 2 2/3. 5 hits, 1 run, 2 strikeouts, 61 pitches. Your thoughts?
I think they are up 2-0 if Chris Sale doesn't start in this series. I think it should be unanimous that Chris Sale shouldn't be starting right now, right? They gave him like a standing ovation in the dugout because he went 2 2/3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my God, has the bar lowered. I know it's not what it used to be. Guys don't throw 7, 8, 9 innings. You never see it. 7's even, that's a marathon start. This guy goes 2 2/3. And they're acting like, ah, they put him in a good spot. No, he didn't. He gave up one run, but still, he couldn't even pitch 3 innings. Relievers go further than that now. That was terrible, and it just set him up to fail. And you have to use all these arms. You have to use Sawamura, who wasn't even on the roster last series. And then those other guys gave it up. So if you want to defend Sale, you're like, oh, well, he wasn't the one that gave up all the runs. No, but he started a game and went 2 2/3. That, to me, is embarrassing. You should have gone Eovaldi in game one. You could have brought back Eduardo Rodriguez in game two, and I would have gone Nick Pivetta in game three. That's how I would have done it. And after watching the game unfold the way that it did, I feel even stronger about that now.
Well, I think there's two ways of looking at it. You can get real micro on the Chris Sale piece of it, and then there is that macro, which is they came away with a split in Houston. So in terms of just, you know, I guess you could say maybe the bare minimum, or if you're thinking about the whole winning the series, you did come away with a split, and that's where those Magnum Yaya Ding Dongs help out, and the fact that you had Eovaldi in game two. But it doesn't erase the fact that Chris Sale has to. There's no choice right now. He has to take another turn of starting because of the bullpen usage. And I don't think right now the Red Sox are very interested in taking either Pivetta or Houck out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and I think that's a mistake. And you know, I know Houck gave it up in that one, so maybe you could argue that. But all of the defense of Chris Sale that we heard on Friday, because this was a big discussion on the show Friday, was, well, the bullpen's rested, and they really just need to split, so if he loses, it's not a big deal. Both of them were reasons to not start him. Mm-hmm. Be like, well, all the bullpen guys are ready. Like, okay, well, they could be ready for Eovaldi if need be, or they can be ready for Rodriguez if need be in game two. Chris Sale doesn't have it right now. He doesn't, and hopefully he's better next season, but right now he isn't. He's never been a good playoff pitcher, and now if you want to throw in the injury or just this track record, it's three straight crap starts when they all mattered so much. Final game of the regular season was a huge game. He sucked. ALDS, he sucked. They scored a million runs for him, and so right. They ended up winning that game. And then in this game, 2 2/3, he gave up 5 hits, walked a guy, plunked a guy. You're like, and some of those outs, if Kike Hernandez doesn't dive in center field for that one play.
What a great play.
Awesome play. He's awesome, by
the way. I was just
going to
say, the guy
is incredible.
He's on a heater right now. He's like the guy at the craps table that you hope doesn't walk away.
No, he is so good. Yeah, hopefully the day off doesn't slow him down because he's been so good in the field. He's been so good at the plate. But if he doesn't make that play, who knows how many runs Chris Sale gives up. No, I hate being okay with a starter that doesn't make it through three innings. There's a reason why you can't qualify for a win unless you throw 5. 2 2/3 is not what a start, even in 2021, should not be a starting pitcher's performance. And they're like celebrating it in the dugout. I'm like, oh my God, how the mighty have fallen.
Well,
here with Chris Sale.
I mean, it's almost like a different game now in terms of the way the starters are treated. And tonight over at Fenway Park, and you'll hear the game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. You mentioned Eddie Rodriguez against Jose Urquidy. I don't even know
Urquidy.
What is it? Urquidy.
Don't worry about the spelling.
Urquidy?
Urquidy.
Urquidy?
Yeah, I believe so.
One of the greats.
I mean, one of the guys you're going to read about.
Why do I have a funny feeling that both of these starters are going to be out in the third inning tonight, and then it's going to be a bullpen game once again?
You definitely could be onto something there. It's a possibility. He's a guy who he's a righty. I guess you could call him a bit of a wild card here. All their guys have been. Like, the state of starting pitching is so insane to me right now. Nobody has good ones.
No.
I guess the Dodgers, but even then, look at them. They're falling apart.
They spent $350 million, and they're willing to take, you know, miscreants to go start for them.
But it is really kind of crazy just what teams throw out there now in the playoffs. Just guys that you're like, yeah, well, you know you're going to get, you're going to be warming up the bullpen in the second inning. Urquidy, by the way. Urquidy? Oh, great.
Would you like a Urquidy fun fact?
Obviously, I would, Sean. Urquidy?
Courtesy of our good friend Brian Barrett. Apparently, Urquidy has a 190 batting average against the second time through the order, but teams have had success the first time through the order as they hit 263 in the first inning, and in general, the first time through the order hit 241 against
them. This is what starting pitching has become, to your point.
They're going to pound this guy.
This is what it has become.
Get to him early and often.
Oh, my God.
So he was 8-3 in the regular season with a 3.62 ERA, 20 starts, 107 innings. 90 strikeouts over 170 innings.
Wait, did you say 20 starts and 107 innings?
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, we'll see.
Normally you're pushing 150 with 20 starts a little north. Well, the way it used
not
to be.
Now.
Listen to us now. Now, yeah. I mean, the real olds are out there being like, I remember when a guy got hit with lightning.
But as an
whereas,
aside.
And you and I, it's like 10 years ago, and it's like, what in the F is going on right now?
Well, we did. I pulled up 2013. We could probably go pull 2018. But 2013, ALCS between both starters, everybody went longer than Chris Sale's 2 2/3. And he's like a hero now. Oh, what a war horse. He went out there 2 2/3. Like, that sucked. I don't know how you possibly spin that positive. And that's not a second guess. That was very much a first guess.
You were
Chris
all over
Sale
that.
Should not have been starting game one. I truly believe they're up 2-0 in this series if you just started anybody else in game one.
Hey, Shimey, can you go on the various sports books in the states that you actually can bet and see if there is a prop for the total innings by the starters? That's the next prop we got to get to.
Oh, yeah.
Is both starters combined. How many? I'm sure no one offers it.
I did do the over-under. We made this one up on Friday. 3 2/3.
You were. That's right.
So there's an out.
Coasted to the under.
Outs recorded?
There's an outs recorded prop for each pitcher.
God.
Both pitchers are listed at 13.5. Erod, over 13.5 is minus 140. Urquidy is over 13.5 at plus 120.
So what is that? I'm dumb. 4 1/3?
Yep.
Over under 4 1/3?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, under probably on both. Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it definitely be the under on both?
I would be surprised if both starters combined got 6 innings.
So if you go under on Erod,
really?
It's
so dumb.
Under on Erod's plus 105. Under on Urquidy is minus 160.
Yeah, so they're kind of leaning towards that on Urquidy.
They know.
Yeah.
They know the degenerati like us are going to be like, all right, these guys, what I mean, is
Rodriguez,
going on here?
Rodriguez had the two starts in the DS, one not so good, one pretty good, so...
Yeah.
But even still, even a good start now is 5. What if Evaldi went 5 1/3 on Saturday? And you're like, oh, my God, this guy.
And by the way, I think it was Sale had what? Sale had 61 pitches in 2 2/3. Evaldi, 81 pitches in 5 1/3. And that's normally where, again, 5 years ago, we'd have been screaming, he's not at 100 pitches. What are you doing?
And so I still
got him out of there.
And again, going back to how the series laid out, I still would have gone Evaldi game 1, 4, and 7. And I know everybody's like, wow, that's a lot of short rest. It's like, yeah, but they're not throwing 120 pitches like they used to. It used to be, 3 days rest after throwing so many pitches would be a real problem. But now if you're only throwing 80, why can't you come back in two days?
I think that philosophy has kind of been flushed down the toilet. I mean, wouldn't it be a bigger shock? What would have been a bigger shock that Alex Cora would have picked someone to give you a 1-4-7 versus just starting Chris Sale in game one?
Or, yeah, no, that was a shock because now it seems like it's going to be...
But it'd be a bigger shock if he said, oh, yeah, we're going to ride this guy like Madison Bumgarner.
So Sale's going to be pitching game 5?
I would think so. Doesn't it depend on the score of the series?
yeah, I mean... It could.
If you're down 3-1, he probably isn't.
It could be an elimination game for either way.
If it's 2-2, he probably is.
Yeah, he probably is.
Because they don't want to break the routine of the bullpen right now. By the way, the Ted Cruz photo that was out there of him in the ballpark, I don't know if you saw this.
Well, it is
not meant to besmirch the Dork Podcast, which, by the way, you and Davey will tape tonight.
That's right.
You can watch that live on the Dork Podcast YouTube or get it later on this evening at WEEI.com. Because I wrote down in our rundown, dorky-ass Ted Cruz photo. Why does that... Okay.
What, at the Astros game?
Yes. He tucks everything. Like
everything?
Everything.
Everything?
He tucks... everything.
If
it's a dress
Bill?
Shirt, if it's an Astros jersey,
all right.
The guy tucks in
every
shirt.
Why not?
When you're that chubby, you do not go down that road.
Yeah, probably
go the Tommy Bahama route.
Yep.
It's okay to wear a baseball jersey, not tucked in. Even the photo when like him and his kids went to run away from the hurricane or whatever. Like the guy's walking around. Seriously, he's got the Canadian.
No, that was when they caught him coming in the airport.
Yeah.
And he's, oh my God, that thing is just hanging.
Oh my God. And it's the Canadian tuxedo on top of it. It's denim on denim. I mean, seriously, even people in Canada are like, come on.
Come
man.
On, buddy. This
you know, I just called to say I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
it's not what he said to his constituents, though.
No, it's not.
And that photo is, it's something. Yeah. When you have a fupu, you can't tuck like that. You just can't. I mean, the guy looks like he has his ass on backwards.
It's like a Mr. Potato Head that some kid screwed up.
Yes,
his spin it around.
When that guy tucks, it looks like his ass is on backwards. It's just, you can't get away from it.
He has to do the AC Slater on the toilet.
Oh, let's get to E1 to talk Patriots at 617-779-7937. Louis in Amesbury's been hanging for a while to talk to Gresh and Keith. You kick off hour 2, Louis. Go ahead.
Hey, boys. Yeah, I've been hanging for a while. Lots to talk about. Give me a minute or three. I can't wait to Google that picture of Cruz. Not really. But anyway, go Bruins. Go Sox. Positive versus the emotional roller coaster of yesterday. I got to say this first, and I haven't been listening all morning, so maybe you covered it already. What were they thinking about with Bolden in the background on 3rd and 1? Running the dive play. The guy's ancient.
I'm with
what
you.
What were they thinking?
Good
Do you
call.
Think that they were thinking, oh, we'll outsmart him, we'll put him in the backfield, like they think he's going to run a little swing pass? They run him up the gut. You got the two running backs that have been playing well for fumble one and fumble two, and they put Biden back. Yeah, are you effing kidding me? So just a bunch of other stuff.
Put Joe Biden back there. He'd forget the play call. He'd forget the snap count.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was
he might hit the hole better, though.
No, he might.
Yeah, maybe.
We know Clinton would.
It was a terrible. Yeah, I know that. But I'm bummed. I know that the bad call on the Patriots on the face mask at the end, but you got to say the first half, you would have thought, if I was Dallas and the coach and fans at home, I mean, talk about the calls that we were getting. So, I mean, that was a bad call. But again, it just the whole game, the whole thing was inconsistent. We had players play well, and then they sucked. I mean, Hightower looked like a stud like he used to, and then he fell asleep. And just two last quick things. What about Gilmore? You don't think if Gilmore was out there, they paid him a couple of more nickels, that would have made a difference? Not that the guy that's covering for him, but we have so many injuries in the secondaries. I mean, Gilmore is.
I'm with you, Louis. I'm with you. They miss Gilmore.
And finally, big time, big time. And just finally, if I have to see that weird looking Belichick kid on the sideline one more time, what happened to Gerard Mayo? I thought he was going to be a defensive coordinator. That kid is an alien, look like, first of all, and he's terrible. He's terrible.
Well, I don't know how terrible he is,
he
Louis.
He makes some odd faces,
his
Louis.
Facial expressions are very much the things of memes.
he is, I'll give him that. So there's a lot in there in the Louis call. A lot
I
of really
did
good
not
stuff.
Have Stop sexual it. Relations with that woman.
So he is right. So another play I'm glad he brought up. I think I took a note of it. So second half, Patriots start the half. They're up by four.
Yep.
They punt on their first possession, but then they force a punt by Dallas. So after the first half where it seemed like only turnovers would stop the game or stop the team from scoring, you go punt, punt, and then the Patriots have the ball, and it's third and one at the Dallas 49. And Brandon Bolden off the right side there. What is that? That's a terrible play call, specifically because of the personnel. Third and one with Harris, third and one even with Stevenson. Maybe you'll take your chance. I don't know why they're trying to force Brandon Bolden into the offense. Even if it's only a handful of plays, it's a handful of plays too many, and then you end up punting on that possession, which leads to the first touchdown of the second half by Dallas on a nice long drive.
And when you look at the next drive for the Patriots in that quarter, Keith, like that drive you just referenced, well, first of all, you had, once again, another first down penalty. What a shock. Mm-hmm. Put you in first and 15, and that's where Mac was trying to check into something, and Gunnar Olszewski, like, freaked out because he was in an offensive play. He didn't know what to do and, like, shook out there. Whenever Mac started barking signals, you still got to that third and one, but it was Stevenson, and then they go to Bolden, and then in the next offensive drive, Harris, Mac Jones pass, incomplete, Bailey punt. It was almost like it was, well, this is your series, and well, this is your series, and here's your series, and here's your series. But on it's third weird, though, one, to not put a 200-plus pound back in there makes no sense.
It's also weird to me because depending on the situation and the play call, it's hard to tell how much they trust or don't trust Mac Jones. Like, there's a couple of those short plays, right? Like third and one, for example. Mm-hmm. Handing the ball to Bolden versus having Mac Jones run anything, like maybe like an option route with somebody, or let Mac Jones pick that ball
or
up.
A bootleg to the field, right, and have two guys in route.
But then you go to the end of the game, and that pick six that we've talked about a lot, you are putting the ball in his hands. So you are fully trusting him to make a throw there and to complete a pass and to at least get some clock down and try to convert on what would be the third down.
Next series, so third and four, he did throw it. So to your point, right, would it be
it's
better
hard to tell
just,
whether they trust
throw
him or not.
A four-yard hitch on third and one versus throwing it on third and three or third and four.
Right.
Michael is in Rhode Island with Gresham Keefe. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
A great show. Everybody keeps asking the question why they spent the money on free agency this year. And nobody really has an answer because they're not. You have a rookie quarterback. Maybe it was to help develop the rookie quarterback. Maybe he thought the weapons he had last year, there's no chance of developing. I think Bill knew he was drafting a rookie quarterback this year.
Well, I definitely think part of it is to just not have the same thing from, or the results from last year carry over to this year. And they had the money, right? So part of it is, oh, you're just spending money to spend it. It's like, well, they needed to get the talent on the roster up to a certain level. And you're right. If you're going to develop a quarterback, it's a lot easier to develop him with talent than not. I question less the spending spree than what you spent it on. Not that, like, if you just told me, oh, they're going to spend $200 million or whatever it ended up being in cap.
Yep.
Okay, fine. But is Hunter Henry a good signing? Is Jonnu Smith a good signing? Is Nelson Agholor a good signing? Is Kendrick Bourne a good signing? Is Jalen Mills a good sign? Like, besides Matt Judon, you love any of the guys that they brought in?
I think in adding the pros that they did, it has now become evident that they've got to go get a stud. Because I think one stud wide receiver...
They kind of paid Agholor like a stud, or like close to a stud.
Well, I mean, it's what, $8.5 million or something like that.
Well,
when
I
it's
it was more
but,
than that.
But the point is that if you dropped, and I know people go, oh, he's a great player, but if you dropped even a rookie like Devontae Smith or Jamar Chase on this roster, so you then had the second corner matching up against Bourne or Agholor, the third corner matching up against Bourne or Agholor, you had a real number one receiver that somebody had to respect.
Agholor, 2 for 24.
That's what's missing. Well, how much of it was guaranteed? Was it 17, I think it was?
Yeah, but I mean, it's 11 per. He's getting guaranteed 11 this year, and he could get 12
so
this
they,
season.
So they jammed and tried to make it like a 1 year for 11. And who knows? Well, that's the essence of free agency, is that you do have to overpay. But it's become evident now that you're right. They couldn't deal with what they had last year.
Right.
They needed pros in there. Now we know they're one piece away, I think, from unlocking this offense. Time now for our Patriots Monday injury review, sponsored by the Ketchus Law Group. Jonathan Jones left the game and then returned. Chase Winovich left with a hamstring injury. Dante Hightower did get dinged up. He left and returned as well. And no real updates on anybody. We also saw Damian Harris after a couple different runs limping off the field.
We did see the return of Isaiah Wynn.
9 plays.
Didn't go great.
No, it
did not. He had one where he just got pushed all the way back into Mac Jones. He was terrible, so he returned.
G-U-A-R-D.
Yeah.
Kick him inside. Just do it and get it over with.
I think you have to, just to try to get something out of them.
Hey, with offices across New England, Ketchus Law Group has won over $1 billion for their injured clients since 1986. At Ketchus, you pay nothing unless they win. Injured? Get a free legal evaluation at KetchusLaw.com or call 508-321-7000. Lawrence Guy scheduled to join us next. Right now, here's Shime Trending.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
New England Patriots defender Lawrence Guy scheduled to join us here in mere moments. We'll talk to Jacoby Myers at noon, so make the appointment. Jacoby Myers got jobbed out of that touchdown.
He really did. Still no touchdowns. Then he has the two-point conversion, so he does have that.
Well, there is
but
that.
But no touchdowns. He had a preseason touchdown. Then he had this one called back. He's snake bit. Yeah, buzzard's luck.
I guess that's a step forward, though, right? Like, you get the two-point conversion.
Yeah, you're in the end zone.
And then you get the touchdown.
Yeah, that's what they were even saying on the broadcast yesterday.
Well, of course, Tony Romo's got to sell to those wide receivers. He's got every excuse lined up.
By the way, I think I might be in the minority. I still like Tony Romo. I still like him.
I don't hate him.
People have turned on him, like, real bad. People hate him, but I like him. I think he's fine. And then if you don't like him, I'm curious who you do like, because we've seen a variety of play-by-play teams so far this year. This week we're right back to the E-Squad from CBS.
Andrew Catalan, James Lofton has Patriots, Jets, God help us all.
Get used to it. They're going to have a lot of Patriots games if they don't turn this thing around. But I don't mind Romo. Like, they were showing a highlight of his he had like a one-yard touchdown pass to Witten, and he was like, one of the best throws I had in my entire career, Jim. I like that crap. I think he's good. I know people find him annoying. And I thought, even though he's clearly a Cowboys fan, clearly, but he also loves Belichick and the Patriots. So I didn't think he was too homery. He wasn't like A-Rod the other night.
No.
You know?
No, no, no. He was not. No, he wasn't A-Rod. I'm with you. I don't mind him. Tony Romo. And there are way worse. I mean,
way worse.
In big spots,
yes.
Too. Time to talk to our friend Lawrence Guy, who joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Our interview with Lawrence Guy is brought to you by Verizon. Also brought to you by Botello Lumber, your Anderson window dealers. Love the life you see. Lawrence Guy, good morning. And, man, that was a tough one all the way around. A ton of plays for the defense. But let's just kind of start with what was the feeling, Lawrence, last night where, once again, you're so close, but it doesn't show up in the win column?
You know, it ain't close enough, you know. It don't matter how close you are if you don't get the win. And pretty much that's the feeling. It's like, hey, we're close, and, you know, it was a tough game, and it was. And, you know, we played our hearts out, but we didn't do enough, you know. We want to keep saying it's close games. We've got to figure some things out and just keep on pushing. But the exciting thing about all this is we understand where we're at as a team, but we also understand the competitiveness that we're putting on the field. You know, like, is that one play that we need to stop, and is that one drive that it needs to be changed, that we need to eliminate those and continue to pushing through. But, you know, we went into overtime. Most exciting thing you can do is go into overtime. You only can control what you control. And I could say, if you looked at our sideline, you saw everybody giving it their all. You know, it's something that you just like, you're happy that everybody was out there to play. You're happy that everybody went out there and put it all on the field. You're happy that people that did more than they was doing before did more. And there were some big plays that were made against us and big plays made against them. And we just have to eliminate some of those plays, and that's with every single phase.
Lawrence, you guys were up by 3 with 31 seconds to go, and it was 3rd and 25 from the Dallas 45. What's the mindset going into that play?
You play it down, you know. That's the mindset. You only can play one play at a time. That's just coming from somebody that's played a long time in the league. That's how I look at it. You know, the score is the score, but all you can think about is like, hey, you got to play the down. You know, you can't think about what happened to play before, what happened to the next play. You got to play that down and see what happens in that down and do what you can on that down. That's the best thing that comes to your mind. Like, I don't know what's going to happen the next play. I don't care what happened in the previous play. I just got to know when I put my hand in the dirt, when I line up, when the ball snaps, I'm going to play this play and see what the outcome is.
Lawrence, I know that you do rotate, but even for the amount of rotations that you would normally have in a game, I think you're at 49 plays or something like that. At what point as a defense are you aware of the amount of time that you are on a field and having to fight your way through all of the tiredness? I mean, hell, even in that fourth quarter towards the end, it felt like everybody out there was gassed, and an incompletion was almost a welcome thing so everybody could catch their breath.
Well, I look at it like this. When I'm able to play defense, it's a fun day, you know. Being a defensive player, you're like, hey, every opportunity I'm able to out there, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be out there to play the game. We condition, and we work hard in practice. You know, we do what we can to play those type of games. Of if we have to be on the field for a long period of time, or if we're on the field for a short period of time, staying loose, and et cetera. Because there's times you're like, man, we haven't touched the field at all. We're series. How do you stay body warm? But we're also conditioned enough to be on the field if we have to, or we let some plays, we got to be out there and push it through. And like, as you said, we have a rotation, and we get people on and off because we want to keep people fresh. But if you look at it, like, it is not a lot of like, hey, everybody's really gassed. It's more like, hey, what can we do for the next play? What do we need to do? You know, there's some injuries on the field. So yeah, you have to see that. It's like, okay, there's an injury. How is that player doing? Like, what's going on? What it's hurt. So you got all that aspects going on and position changing and et cetera. So you're just trying to figure all that out during the game. But like I said, any situation you're given, you deal with it. There's nothing you can do at that time. You can't take a play back. You can't think about what you was doing. You can't think about what's going to happen. All you can do is do it, play in the now. I'm like, okay, this is the situation you're in. Somebody went down. These are the players that are in. What do we got to adjust? What do we got to keep going? And like I said, if it's more play time on the field with the defense, it is what it is. We got to keep on pushing with that.
Lawrence, one of the best plays defensively in the entire game was when Juwan Bentley punched the ball out from Dak Prescott right there on the 1-inch line. What kind of boost does that give the defense when they're so close to scoring? It looks like they may have even scored on the play before, but they didn't. And then it looks like it's really just all you got to do is, you know, move the ball an inch, and yet you guys cause a turnover on that play. What does that do for the defense?
It's big. Any goal line stop like that is big. And I think the best thing about that stop was the communication. If you look at those three plays, the three plays that they had, and you look at it and from the ball before the ball was stopped, you saw the communication. And I remember I was talking to the linebackers through that communication, and we all had an understanding of where they were going to go with the ball. And that just shows you don't reach the ball out, you know, on the goal line. But it's a heck of a play of being able to hit that ball before it hit that line, mm-hmm. you know. And that's all about, hey, we're going to stop them regardless of what it is. We know where they're going to go. It's us against them. Let's get it stopped. And that's what we did for those two plays. And then, like you said, the play right before, it looked like he was in there, but he wasn't in there. We had him stopped right there on that line, and he had even closer. So that was a great play made, but that it gives you an example of how we are trying to play on defense of we're playing every single down and not giving up. And as you see, it doesn't matter how close you are to the goal line or how far away you're going, we're going to play to the best of our abilities, the hardest we can and the fastest we can.
Lawrence Guy joining us on the Harbor One Hotline with Gresh and Keefe on Patriots Monday. I know it's 2-4, and even Keefe and I have talked about, Lawrence, that, boy, if you win the Miami game and it's 3-3 with the Dallas effort and the Tampa effort, it feels different. I'm curious from your end, how does this season feel for you right now? Is it snake bit, missed opportunities? How do you put into context where you guys are at through six games?
Well, if you look at the record, like, and then you look at the record in the previous years, like, we're in a good spot. We understand that we haven't won a lot of games. We get that, but we understand we've been in a lot of close games with some really good teams. We understand that, but it's continuing to build. And not stepping back. And I feel like that's where we're at as a team right now. We're continuing to keep building off these games. Because as you see, every single week that it's like, hey, we have a down week in a certain aspect of the game, we get better in it. And we continue to get better and better and better. And as you see, when the competition is high, we're out there performing. We just got to keep that competition high with every single team that we play and play to a extreme level. So, like, when I'm looking for the outside in, I don't want to look at records, because you can't say, well, look at records and look at this. And I don't really talk about the past much, but you look at 19, you look at our record in 19, and you're like, okay, well, there are some teams that beat us, but did you see everybody drop their head and continue to, like, oh, man, no, we continue to fight, and that's where we're at. We're going to continue to keep building as a team, keep building that as players, where we can continue to try to win these games. And it's the best of our ability. Sometimes the game might not fall into your hand, but we understand that. But we got to keep getting better. Eliminate those big plays. Eliminate the errors. And to be able to do that, you have to continue to push each other as players and as coaches.
Did you see the new Halloween movie yet?
No, but I heard it was elite.
Yeah, you heard wrong.
Oh!
It's not great. Yeah, it's not great. Let me know, though. Let me know. Next time we talk to you, maybe you'll see it. Not great.
I saw Squid Game now.
Oh yeah, you like Squid Game?
It was unique. It gives you an aspect of happiness, right?
Yeah.
He had all the money in the world and he still wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I get it. So you played a game that could cost you your life.
Kind of hits close to home here for Lawrence Guy.
Hey, Lawrence, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Have a good week, and we'll catch you next Monday, hopefully after a win against the Jets. Thank you.
Yeah, you have a good one.
There we go. Lawrence with the – so the key takeaway that I have, and key takeaway of the week is brought to you by the Dan O'Brien Auto Group, is that it sounded like Lawrence looking at it much more half full
Definitely.
Than half empty.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. He kind of lost me, though, when he said, you know, it's kind of like last year, so we're in a good spot. We weren't really in a good spot last year. So I'm not sure if that's entirely what he meant, but he knows it's a long season, and he's not going to freak out about them being 2-4. And, like, you and I can keep pointing back to the Miami game, but that's the wrong mentality to have for them. Like, right. If you're a player on the team, all right, you just lost a tough one to the Cowboys. You have to go now beat the Jets. You can't go back and redo the Dolphin game.
Well, and I also think that deep down, those guys know that even though this offense hasn't been a point a minute, it's nowhere near what it was last year.
No,
it's at
God,
least
no.
functional and can go out.
What would the
and,
score have been last year against this Dallas team?
Oh, my God. Yeah. 51-3. It would have been like that Super Bowl against the Bills. Come into any Dan O'Brien Auto Group store today and get your awesome protection plan. Keeping it awesome. We've not forgotten about the Bruins and the Celtics. Bruins season opened over the weekend. Celtics season opens on Wednesday. 5 minutes of B's and C's next.
More Crash and Keith right now on WEEI.
Can't get it past Holla. Holla to Foligno. DeBrus scores! Jake DeBrus renewed! Marchand has an empty net! Scores, and that is a suspendable foul. Haskinen slow-footed Marchand, and I'm sure the NHL will shrug its shoulders. That was dangerous and unsportsmanlike.
It is the busiest time of the year in the month of October. The Bruins season has begun. Jack Edwards joins Marloney and Foyer as a part of Bruins Thursday.
That's right.
I know on Thursday we will talk to our friend the Razor, Andrew Raycroft, as well. But the Bruins get off to a good start in the season opener. The 3-1 win, and I wrote this down just for you because
right.
I know this is a guy you love and a guy you'd love to ship out of town.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeremy Swayman and Jake DeBrusk. Pretty good.
Yeah, two of the highlights of the game, I would say. Jeremy Swayman, though, getting the start over Linus, who is nobody's favorite. Nobody's favorite player. We'll see how he does. But Swayman, good job. I mean, right out of the chute, come away with a win like that. Bunch of saves. Awesome. Jake DeBrusk, we know, is very streaky. So maybe this will be the start of something. Maybe this line will click. Maybe there's something in there. I just feel like it's one of those fool me once, fool me twice, fool me thrice. Like, it just seems like so many times.
You're not falling for the banana in the tailpipe again.
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. I like it.
How about the old cautiously optimistic that maybe he has a good season? Because what was it, 2 or 3 years ago? Didn't he have 27 goals? But then it's been so inconsistent between then and now. But starting the year with a goal, like maybe for him, just like mentally, that'll go so far. Rather than have, because you know he's a guy that the goalless streak, like, he knows it. I'm sure, like, oh, it's 10 games now. It's 11 games
it's in
now.
His head.
I bet he would know that, where you start right out of the year, boom, you get a goal. That could potentially go a long way. Obviously, Brad Marchand off to a hot start, the whole thing. So you'll take it. That's his, you know. That's a great way to begin the year.
And Swayman played well, and yeah. I don't think you nor I hate him maybe getting more
the majority
games
of the games
this year than Linus, right?
No, I hope he does. In fact, I think it would have to go twofold. I think Linus would have to play really, really well, and Swayman would have to play poor in order for it to switch. And that's over multiple games. I'm not like Linus has a shutout and Swayman gives up 4 goals. You're not like, all right, we have a new number one goalie. They're both going to play a lot, but Swayman should play more.
By the way, Jakobi Meyers will join us at the top of the hour here on this Patriots Monday. We know Charlie McAvoy got the big contract extension. That came down on Friday.
Yep. Love it.
I love it. There's very little to analyze there other than the Bruins ponied up and they kept the guy. They're not going to do it for everybody. But I think they do it for the right people. And this was a situation where they kind of had to get close or pay the going rate.
Yeah, I think so. And again, he's always the highest paid player on the team. But based on where he's at and his age, he should be. And you can't let him go. Imagine if he somehow slipped away.
That would not be
what the response would have been. It would have been horrible. So keeping him, and maybe he could have squeezed out a few more dimes on the open market, but 9.5 is nothing to sneeze at for 8 years.
And being here, I think the culture here does matter, as we've seen with guys like Taylor Hall.
And I loved his line when they asked, what's the first purchase going to be? And he said, well, I'll probably get a bunch of bones for my dog.
I was like, I mean, great.
That dog's going to be eating good for a while.
Who doesn't love dog people? And the Celtics will open their season on Wednesday at the Knicks. Jabari Parker, gone.
Gone. Yeah, Jabari Parker was one of those guys that when he signed that year and then the second year was not fully guaranteed, you thought there was, of course, a chance that maybe he wouldn't be a part of the team. It was in the preseason. He still looks, like, slow, and it's just he's not the guy. He wasn't going to be a big factor anyway, but he's gone, and I'm excited to get their season going on Wednesday against a team that, believe it or not, was better than them last year in the standings, the New York Knicks.
Very much so, and Grant Williams got benched for bitching at the refs.
This is our only hope. As those of us who recognize Grant Williams being the worst player in the NBA, Ime Udoka doesn't have some affinity for him like Brad Stevens does, so yep. He probably won't play a lot.
And he doesn't want people bitching at refs.
I love that. And let's see how long it lasts.
Yeah,
you got a few guys, including your best player,
yeah. Who
like to do that. But
four minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You sitting Tatum if he's bitching?
Nah, not into that.
Sliding scale there. Yeah, absolutely. By the way, of course, I mention it, and we find out that Jakobi Meyers will be in the back end of the noon hour, if not to start the 1 o'clock hour here today on this Patriots Monday. So what that means is us talking about the Patriots with you at 617-779-7937. The Patriots are 2-4, but does it feel like a 2-4 football team when you really look at the way things have gone down game to game this season? Back to you on the phones and the Patriots talk next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.